God has made us to walk as overcomers. God has made us to walk victoriously. There was years ago a famous professional football coach. Some of you who know the old school NFL will know it. Some of the younger kids may not. Vince Lombardi coined the term, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. He used to say, if winning isn't so important, why do they keep score? His idea was this: if we're going to play, my goal is to win. And I suggest to you that as believers, I think the same. I don't know that I'm convinced that it's more spiritual not to want to win. I'm not convinced that it's more spiritual to accept mediocrity. I'm not convinced of that at all. In fact, as a culture, I think we have a real good idea that it's important to walk and to live as victors, as overcomers. For instance, 1864, I'm going to put you on the spot. 1864, last year of the Civil War, one of the last years of the Civil War, there was a presidential election. Can anybody tell me who won that election? Lincoln. You all answered quicker than 9 a.m. Good for you. Who came in second? I didn't hear that, but it must have been funny. George McClellan. General George McClellan. Very few people know who comes in second. See, as a culture, we value winners. We value victory. And I think as believers, sometimes we think that it's more spiritual just to say, well, we just enjoyed playing the game. And that's fine and well. And yet I think God's made us to be spiritual overcomers. Years ago, Bob Bowerman and Phil Knight established the brand Nike. It comes from a Greek word. I've shared this before here. It comes from a Greek word, nike, and it means overcomer. It means victor. And thankfully, Phil Knight and Bob Bowerman did not use the Greek word kope for their brand. That means loser, defeated. You really don't want an athletic brand that says loser, because everyone knows the goal is to win. And I'm convinced that as believers, God equips us in such a way that we can live victoriously, that we can live as overcomers. And I want to suggest to you something this morning you may or may not have thought about. Walking as an overcomer in and of itself has an evangelistic element to it, a powerful evangelistic element. Walking as an overcomer, walking as a victor, I'm convinced is a powerful message to the culture. The lives of overcoming Christians are evident to others. And if we as believers accept the idea that we are not to walk victoriously, if we accept mediocrity spiritually, then the world out there looks at us and says, wait, they're not responding to events any better than we are. Why do I want what they have? And yet God, I believe, has called us and has equipped us and has enabled us. This is not something that is available to a handful of Christians. This is something that's available to everyone who has been born again. This morning, I want you to know that we are overcomers. 1 John chapter 5 is where we will be as we take a look at what I believe are some experiences of an overcomer. First John chapter 5. This word I mentioned a few moments ago, nike, it is used in the midst of this passage that we'll consider today in verses 4 and 5. It's used repeatedly. And so I want to take a look at some experiences I believe any spiritual overcomer is going to have. 1 John, we are nearing the end of this series through 1 John. The series is titled, Are You Sure? And that has been the theme through the book of 1 John. All the way through, here are some things that are true about believers. And if you're born again, this is going to be true about you. And if this is not true about you, then you may want to consider whether you're born again or not. We keep hearing this repeatedly through 1 John. And so John would compare light to darkness. You're either in the light or you're in the darkness. Love to hate, you're either in love or you're in hate. Obedience to disobedience. You're either in obedience or disobedience, and there's not a lot of room in between. You're either or, one or the other. You are either in one and you're saved, you're in the other, you're lost, and there's not a lot of room in the middle. And so we come to chapter 5, and John begins to kind of wrap up his letter with the image of those who are in the light camp, the love camp, the obedience camp. And he begins to explain in these first 12 verses what it is that an overcomer looks like. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, he says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God." There are two or three pieces to this first phrase. The first piece is the term believes, and that is a present active, which means it's an ongoing activity. And so literally John is saying everyone who has believed and is believing, everyone who is believing day in and day out, moment in, moment out, week in, week out, a person who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the word Christ. Jesus Christ is often what we think of when we think of Jesus, but the word Christ is not his last name. It is a title. The word Christ, it's the title Master, King, Lord, Ruler. And so he says everyone who goes about believing that Jesus is the Master, Jesus is the King. What we're talking about here is someone who has looked to Jesus and said, you know what? I'm having a terrible time running my own life. Jesus, I yield my entire life to you. I give it over to you. I receive your salvation. If you're born again, this is what you did. When you confessed Christ as your Savior and received his forgiveness, you were saying, I am now, Jesus, acknowledging you as King and Master of my life. And if you're sitting here today and you say, well, Pastor, I trusted Jesus as my Savior, but I really didn't do all that. I'm telling you, if you're born again, you did. And if you didn't, well, that's another conversation. And so he says, anyone who has yielded his life to Christ and says, Lord, you're my Master, you're my King, has been born of God. That is what being born again means. It means I'm giving my life over to Christ because of what he's done for me, the forgiveness of sin. The Holy Spirit comes to live in my life. And Lord, I am willfully, joyfully, lovingly following you as my Master now. And so everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. That term born, it's what's known as a perfect tense, which means it's a past tense action having implication on the present. It literally has been and is being born. Your conversion is not about something you did. Your conversion is about something you did to begin, but it's something that's continuing on. If you're converted, you confessed Christ as your Savior and received him, gave your life to him, but now he's continuing to work out that salvation in you through sanctification, and he will perfect it one day. This issue of salvation isn't just a past tense event. I was talking with someone recently about someone who I've known for years, a friend of mine I've known since I was a kid. And that friend, when we were young, we were teenagers, he made a profession of faith when we were teenagers. And the person I was talking to, I said, the thing that concerns me is there's nothing in his adult life that I look to that convinces me that he's been saved. You say, well, Pastor, we're not to judge. I'm not talking about judging. I'm just talking about Scripture. It's just there's nothing in his life that indicated he really trusted Christ as his Savior. Not the way he lives, not the way he talks, nothing. Not the way he handles family, nothing. Indicate. So I've got to ask the question, just because he made a profession of faith 30 years ago, and yet there's nothing in his life since then that's somehow revealed that he's been saved or reflected that he's been saved, does that really mean he was born again? Do I really just, oh yeah, but 30 years ago he said he was saved? Really? Because 1 John seems to indicate that your salvation is not just about something you did. It starts with that. That's the minimum. That's like the entry level. But it's something that God's continuing to do. And if you're truly born again, God's continuing to work that in your life. And so then, he says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And so this first phrase is talking about born again believers. All right? Now, look at the second phrase. And everyone who loves the Father. So He's assuming if you're born again, then you love the Father. He doesn't even say, everyone who's been born again, you better love the Father. No, no. Everyone who's been born again, by default, you're going to love the Father if you're born again. And if you don't love the Father, chances are you weren't born again. And so if you're born again, you love the Father. And watch this. And not only do you love the Father, but look at verse 1 very closely. If you're born again, you love the Father. Who else do you love? Other believers. Everyone who's been born of him. So it kind of works like this. It's kind of a sequential statement. So you've declared Christ as your Lord. You've said Christ is your Lord and fallen in love with God. You've fallen in love with the Father. Now you also fall in love with other believers. It's that simple. And sometimes when we're talking about two things that can't be separated, we say these are two sides of one coin. Just certain things that have come together. You can't take one without the other. Let me suggest to you this is three sides of one coin. How do you have a three-sided coin? I don't know. But we're just going to use it. You're born again, which means you love God. You love God, which means you love other believers. You either have all of that or you have none of that, according to the text. And so what does that look like? You see, God's invisible. I say I love God. All kinds of people say they love God. Well, what does that look like? I'll tell you what, it looks like more than words. It looks like action. According to the text, it seems like the action is involved in loving other believers. I'm going to love other believers. Now, look, I know we've talked about this before in 1 John, and John's brought it up again and again, but I've got to bring it up. I can't help it. If I love other believers, then that means I love the Father. If I love the Father, that means there was a point where I was born again and am being sanctified now. Conversely, I was born again, I love the Father, I love the Father, I love other believers. And if I love other believers, I am going to want to be where they are. There's going to be a physical response to a spiritual reality. And if I love other believers, I'm going to want to be where they are. If I love other believers, I'm going to want to serve where they serve. If I love other believers, I'm going to want to worship along with them. I'm going to want to be with them and do things they do and be a part of what they're doing, which begs the question. Someone who says, I'm born again, but I just don't like church. Is that even possible? Because I got to tell you, I just like the entry level to loving someone is you kind of want to be around them. I want you to know I love you, but I can't stand being around you. Right. One experience of an overcomer is that he or she has a love for other believers, a love for other Christians. It's just true. Look at verse 2. By this we know, not we think we might. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. So what does it look like when I love God and I love his people? It looks like a life that seeks to obey God. So now no longer is obeying God a requirement of sorts. It is a desire. So now no longer is obeying God an obligation. It is an opportunity. If obeying God is something that's an obligation to me, something that's begrudging to me, something that's drudgery to me, I've got to wonder. Because love makes me want to do things for people. Love makes me want to do things for God. In particular, for other believers. See, God's invisible. So you say you love him? How am I going to know? Well, because it's going to show on the outside. Well, what's that going to look like? Here's what it's going to look like. Loving other believers. Loving them. They may not be that lovable. You may not be that lovable. Maybe you're more unlovable than they are. But that's not the point. If you're in love with God, you're going to have love for other believers. Okay, Pastor, I do have love for other believers, certain ones. But that's not what this says. It just says the believers. He uses it pretty generically as a purpose because he's not talking about loving certain ones. He's talking about loving them all. Because you've got the same, we've got the same Father, the same spiritual Father. If I love God, I've been born again. And if I love God, then I'm going to love other believers. And it's going to show on the outside. It's Like so many believers, so many folks out there are talking about, I love God and I've been born again, and yet the evidence that they really love other believers is not really there. It's like, I want to say it, but I don't want to do it. It's like the little girl who was invited over to her friend's house. And she was invited over for dinner. Sat down at the table. Now, the friend's mama says, now, sweetie, one of the vegetables we have is buttered broccoli. Do you like buttered broccoli? The little girl says, oh, yes, ma'am. Well, good. We're so glad. So start passing the food around. Buttered broccoli comes by the little girl's plate. She passes it along, doesn't get any. Not any. A minute later, the mama looks at the little girl. She says, now, sweetie, I thought you loved buttered broccoli. She said, oh, yes, ma'am. I love buttered broccoli, but not so much that I would eat it. We got believers who say, oh, I love God, but not so much that I would love believers that I don't like. I'm telling you, an overcomer is someone who's just going to love other believers. Doesn't mean you're happy about it all the time. Doesn't mean everything's just rainbows and gumdrops and whistles. But it does mean over the long haul, you're going to go show love for other Christians. Look at verse 3. So for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. What does it look like when I love God vertically? What it looks like is horizontal obedience. Not because he's making me, but because I get to. Someone sent me something on social media the other day. It was a joke that I've seen before. Some of you saw it, I bet. It's about a pastor who took off from church one Sunday, said he was sick, went to play golf, went three counties over so nobody would know him. Went to play golf, got on the sixth hole, got a hole in one. God's watching him, there's an angel. Angel turns to God and says, God, you allowed him to get a hole in one. Aren't you going to punish him? How was that punishment? God looks at the angel and says, who's he going to tell? Can I tell you something? I'd rather preach than play golf any day. Why is that? Not because I'm anything. Look, not because I'm anything. My obedience to God is done out of desire because he did something in me. He changed me. I'm going to tell you something. Before I was saved, it was like this. It was obedience to what I thought were God's rules out of an obligation because I thought I needed to, but because I didn't want to get smacked on the head by God. After I was saved, he changed my want to. And that's what he'll do. And so if you're born again, you begin to obey God just because you want to, because you desire to, because you love to. And so, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and obey his commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Nike, there's that word. And that word overcome is a present active. It means to who overcomes and continues to overcome. So the overcoming element is not that great sudden event, that crescendo where we win. It might be that. But do you know what overcoming is more often than not? I shared this earlier in the first service, and I want to share this one piece because there's someone out there this morning who needs to hear this. I am convinced overcoming for the believer looks a lot more like just being around longer than the problem is. You're facing some crisis. You're facing some trial. You're facing some issue, and you're just kind of slugging through it. In your mind, you're going, this thing's been around. It's been around for a while. It feels like it'll never go away. I feel defeat. And then you just kind of hang in there. And finally, that problem, that crisis, finally just kind of dissipates, and there you are. Guess what? Most of the time, the overcoming is more about just hanging around longer than the problem than it is some great, fantastic event. There are some of you here today, and listen, God bless you. You know why you're an overcomer? Because you're just hanging in there. And I want to tell you, whatever problem it is you're facing that feels like it'll never go away, eventually it will, and you're going to still be there. And overcomers do that. That's what they do. And so, again, verse 4, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome, again, Nike. that has overcome the world, our faith. This is our personal faith, not the body of beliefs that is our faith, but this is our personal faith. Our personal faith in God, that's the bridge to being an overcomer. In verse 5, who is it that overcomes? Again, Nike, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Listen, folks. Overcomers have lives full of victory. Not these great, fantastic, trophy-raising victories for the most part. Mostly it's just day in and day out hanging in there. Overcomers, mostly it's just day in and day out. It's just the mama and after her 15-hour day putting the kids to bed and just getting in bed just in time to get enough sleep to get up and do it the next day. It's just hanging in there. It's the job where you're working day in and day out and you don't know if you can make it and just hanging in. It's the health issue. It's just hanging in there. And so overcomers live lives of victory. It's just lives that just hang in there and don't quit. Day in and day out. Back in 2003, March of 2003, something amazing happened. The University of Connecticut women's basketball team lost a game. March 2003. So what's the big deal about that? Well, it was in the tournament, but it was also their first loss in 76 games. They had learned to win so much, it had just become a matter of course. Day in and day out, week in and just kind of going along and winning. It wasn't fantastic things. It was just the week in and week out stuff that they did. It was victory. That's the believer. That's the overcomer. Day in and day out, just winning victories. Some of you may not know this. How many we got Auburn in here this morning? Just, okay. Well, Auburn finally named a, Coach Malzahn finally named a starting quarterback, right? Bo Nix, a lot of you know him if you follow Auburn football, and some of you who don't follow Auburn football know him, but I got one better for you. The church I used to pastor, his grandfather was one of my deacons. And in Warner Robins, Georgia, I know Bo Nix is really famous here. In Warner Robins, Georgia, his grandfather's name is Conrad. Conrad Nix is more famous. He's a Hall of Fame high school, Georgia high school football coach. He coached Northside High School. He also was a great football coach in Alabama as well. But at Northside High School in Warner Robins, Georgia, there was one period, I think it was 05, 06, and 07. There was one period where his teams won 42 straight games. And this is one of the highest levels of football in Georgia high school. That's tough stuff. And I talked to people around the program, and they said, you know, it was like some weeks, before we even walked on the field, we had already won the game. The team showed up, saw it was Northside, and there's just this aura about them. They were going to win. And it wasn't one particular thing they did. It was 1,346 things day in and day out. Can I suggest to you that as believers, walking as overcomers, it isn't about one great thing that we do one time or two times. It is day in and day out, just kind of staying with it. And people watching us, and as believers, as overcomers, we live lives of victory. Just hang around there longer than the problem. And look at verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood. Now, what we're getting here in these next couple of verses is going to be a little complex, so I'm going to have to give you some explanation. So just follow with me. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. Now pause there for just a second. So John mentions three elements: water, blood, Spirit. And commentators have sometimes debates and differences on what they believe these are. And see, I'm convinced it's this. So like in John chapter 3, Nicodemus shows up to talk to Jesus. And Nicodemus asks Jesus about being born again. And Jesus makes the statement. He says, unless you're born by water and by the Spirit, you'll not see heaven. And in that particular case, in John 3, the water is referring to birth. the physical birth, and the spirit, the spiritual birth. But here in 1 John, the water is something different. It's speaking of Jesus. It's speaking of the signs that Jesus came by. The first is water. I'm convinced that is his baptism. If you go back to the early gospel accounts, we see repeated accounts of Jesus having been baptized. It is a sign, it is a symbol by which Jesus came. The blood being the crucifixion, the death, and the burial of Jesus Christ, which is victory, which is salvation to the world. And then by the Spirit, the ascension, and Jesus sent back the Holy Spirit, the third sign by which he came. Baptism, obedience, blood, sacrifice, forgiveness of sin, the Holy Spirit walking in the power of God. And so he says, John says here in verse 6, we're talking about Jesus. He came by three signs, the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And by these three signs he came, and that's not all. Look at verse 9. For if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. What testimony? It's the testimony mentioned in verses 6 through 8. The testimony Jesus came by, baptism, obedience, the blood sacrificial offering, forgiveness of sins, and the Holy Spirit, the power of God. This is the testimony Jesus brought. This is the testimony Jesus has given us. And so verse 10, whoever believes in the Son of God has that testimony. The obedience, the forgiveness, the power of God. That means when I'm born again, I receive these three elements that Jesus came by as signs. I receive them. Translation, you ready? Everything you need to be a victorious believer, everything you need to be an overcomer, God gave you at the moment of conversion. The power to obey, the power to walk in the forgiveness of God, and the power to walk in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. So again, verse 10, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony of God. Again, this testimony by which Jesus came, that Jesus gave to us at conversion. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It is a very clear line of demarcation. If you are born again, you've been given the testimony Jesus brought. The blood obedience, or the water obedience, the blood forgiveness, the Spirit power. You've been given that. And guess what? Not only have you been given that, but you can walk in that. And if you've been born again, that's you. But there's a clear line of demarcation. Either you're in that or you're not. It is a very clear line. You're either born again or you're not. I know the culture would look in and say, are you telling me that there's only one way to God? I would say that is exactly what I'm saying. Isn't that arrogant? Isn't that narrow-minded? I would suggest to you there's nothing more gracious on the face of the earth, nothing more just, in that no matter who you are, there's one way to God. I don't care if you're the wealthiest person on earth or the poorest. I don't care if you're the smartest or, well, not the smartest. Now, I don't care who you are, where you've been, what your status, there's one way to God. Nothing more just on the face of the earth. And you either are or you aren't. And so can I suggest to you, overcomers, based on this passage, are those who have the leading of the Holy Spirit, those who have received these signs, the water and the blood and the Holy Spirit. We have been given these things. We have been given the Spirit and the power of God to walk in life. We've been given the Spirit of God to be able to understand His Word and discern it. Now, even a lost person can understand the basic information of the Scriptures, but only a saved person by the power of the Holy Spirit can begin to understand the application, the wisdom of it, how to walk it out in Christ. The leading and the power of the Holy Spirit God has given us. You say, there are some, Pastor, sometimes there are things that I see that I can't believe God shows me, and it's just awesome in His Word. That's the Holy Spirit. Pastor, sometimes there are things that God reveals to me that are just really incredible. That's nothing special in you. It doesn't make you smart. It doesn't make me smart. It's the Holy Spirit of God in us. And overcomers walk in the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Holy Spirit is not a day or a week or a month. It's a moment by moment by moment over a long period of time. And there are a lot of people who are claiming to have this, and yet they don't seem to be hearing from the Holy Spirit. is like the job that was offered, the story of a job that was offered long ago at a telegraph office. That was back when the telegraph was the leading form of communication. There's a job being offered. A group of guys showed up to interview. They're sitting out in the waiting room, and they'd be sitting there for a few minutes, and this other guy walks in after everybody else and sits down. And in the background is noise, and the telegraph is clacking, you know, dot, dot, dash, dash, dot, dash, dot, the way the Morse code goes. And they're all sitting there in the waiting room, and the guy who came in last all of a sudden stands up and walks through the door back into the office. The rest of the guys out there start looking at each other, what's going on? And one of them looks at the other and says, don't worry, they'll get rid of that guy, and he'll be gone. We won't have to worry about him anymore. A couple of minutes later, secretary walks outside and says, gentlemen, I'm sorry to tell you, the job has already been filled. You can go home now. What? One of the guys says, ma'am, we were here before that guy that just came in. We didn't even have a chance to interview. That's really not fair. She said, sir, all the while you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been in the background clacking out, I want you to come into the back office. If you understand this message, come through the office door. The job is yours. We got believers running around going, well, I want to hear from God. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, you're not walking in the Holy Spirit, you don't hear it. And if you don't hear it, you're not walking it out. Overcomers walk in the power of the Spirit of God. If there's one great message that for believers, for born-again believers, now there's another message for lost people, but if there's one great message that I would that church members and born-again believers in today's church would understand, it's what it means to walk in the power of the Spirit of God. That Jesus Christ now will actually live his life through us. That the Christian life is not me trying to vainly imitate Jesus. The Christian life is Jesus just living his life, but doing it through my mortal body. It is a powerful truth. And overcomers have it. Overcomers have it. Listen, folks. The lives of overcoming Christians are evident to others. There's a story in the Old Testament about three young men. Their country was attacked. Their country was overrun. And they were kidnapped into a foreign country. A foreign country that did not believe in their God. A foreign country who did not believe in their truths and their principles, so worship pagan gods. These three guys, their names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Many of you know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you grew up in the VeggieTales era, they're Rakshak and Benny. Remember those? VeggieTales? Anyway, they were probably anywhere from 16 to about 18 years old. And they were taken off to a foreign country. And because of how strong they were and dynamic they were and gifted they were, this foreign king put them in prominent places in and around the palace. And one day, the steward, whose job it was to take care of them, brought them a bunch of food. And they said, sir, we cannot eat this food. It defies all of our principles. It defies all of our faith. The things we believe, we can't eat this food. There's other food we can't eat, but we can't eat this. And he says, guys, you can't do this to me if I don't feed you this food. And you get weaker or something gets wrong with you physically, I'll be thrown in prison or be put to death. And they said, listen, we understand, but we can't eat it. And they didn't eat it, and it turns out, make a long story short, it turns out that they ended up better than everybody else, and it was a testimony to the king and to the steward who cared for them. They just stood as overcomers. It was evident to people around them. There was another story. Same guys. The king decided he was going to build a big honking statue, 50 feet tall. I guess that's maybe taller than this roof. Really tall. And so he gathered all the leaders, particularly some of the young leaders and leaders from all around the country one day and got a big stage with a big statue of himself, by the way, and put the statue beside them and said, when the music plays, all you out there in front of the stage, bow down and worship me. So the music started playing and all these people bowed down in front of him, and way back on the 14th row, six seats over. There were three guys just standing there. Everybody else was bowed down worshiping. These guys were just standing there. The king looks at his assistant and said, go get those guys and bring them here. Brought them up there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Brought them up and said, guys, what are you doing? When the music plays, you bow down and worship. Said, king, we can't do it. He said, you do realize if you don't do this, I will throw you in the fiery furnace. You will be incinerated before the door is shut. We know that. But here's the problem. King, we can't worship anyone but our God, period. And we won't worship anyone but our God. These are young guys. And so, king, you do what you got to do. But here's the reality. King, we know that our God can save us out of this fire. We know that he can. But king, I want to tell you something. He may not. And even if he chooses not to save us, we will still not bow down and worship you. They ended up getting thrown in the fire. Someone looked in. There's a fourth man in the fire. I believe it was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. He saves them. They come out. Don't even smell like smoke. The king gets converted. People all around them get converted. And they're converted because they saw the lives of overcomers. Those guys didn't preach a sermon. Those guys didn't hand out gospel tracts. They just lived victoriously. Now, I love people who share the gospel. I love people who hand out tracts. But I'm saying, when we live victoriously, it is such an evangelistic message. And so I'm asking you, is any of this something that looks anything like your life? I'm just asking. Because if you've never been born again, there's nothing of what I've just shared that is available to you. You say, well, that sounds harsh. It absolutely sounds harsh. That is tough. Because if you're outside of Christ, none of this is available to you. Here's the good news. Today, it can be. I'm talking today. Today, you could come and say, Lord, I need to be born again. Today, you could come and say, Pastor, could someone explain to me what it means to be born again? I'd like to trust Christ as my Savior. I'd like to begin to even begin the opportunity to live as an overcomer to this God you're talking about. And that begins with being born again. I mean, that's just the entry level. And then believers, can I suggest to you that maybe here in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come. And if you'd like, just come pray. Maybe you want to pray with someone. Maybe you want to pray for someone. Maybe you want to come to this altar and just get before the Lord and say, Lord, from this day on, let me live as an overcomer. And one other opportunity you might have, maybe you're here today and you're looking for somewhere to connect yourself as a church home. And you don't have that. And maybe today's your day to come here and say, how do I become a part of this church? How do I become a member of this church? Had someone in the first service come forward and share about how his life was in a very, very, very difficult place. And he and his wife were actually walking across the parking lot here, and someone from Golden Acres talked to him. And long story short, he's going to be in our new member course in September. He said, this is my home. God did some things in his life and is bringing him here. And maybe you need a place where you begin to grow and to fellowship and to worship. And maybe this needs to be it. And so today, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and say, hey, how do I become a member of Golden Acres Baptist Church? Why don't you stand? As Pastor Todd leads, as we sing, I'm going to invite you to come. Maybe there's some other issue on your heart. You just need to pray with someone. You come right now. I got something to make the devil go wrong.